Welcome to Shaped by Faith with your host, Teresa Rowe. To find out more about Shaped by Faith and Teresa Rowe, please visit shapedbyfaith.com or visit the YouTube channel, Facebook, or Instagram. And now, here is Teresa Rowe.
Welcome to Shaped by Faith, where we shape our bodies and hearts for God's purposes. I have a very special guest today. His name is Joe Welsh, and he's the Executive Director of Friends of Sinners. And Joe, for the listeners that are not familiar with Friends of Sinners, because this is heard all over the place, especially when it goes up on the podcast, why don't you explain what the Friends of Sinners program is?
Sure. Well, Friends of Sinners, we are a Christ-centered recovery program, and keyword being Christ-centered. We're not faith-based. Faith-based could be lots of things. There are lots of programs and centers who say they're faith-based, and they use that faith word to mark as a marketing strategy, but we are Christ-centered, and everything that we do is focused on Jesus Christ and the living word of God. That's our curriculum. We're basically like any other recovery program, except the solution is Jesus Christ. And I hate to even call it a program. Mm-hmm. It's one of my pet peeves is I dislike when anyone says the FOS program, or mm-hmm. I'm explaining, I have to say program, because programs just don't work. Nothing outside of Jesus Christ works. And so we're a ministry, and we are a discipleship program, if I have to use that word. Mm-hmm. But the only thing that works, the program that we have, is set up in a way to promote an atmosphere where our clients can have a real encounter with Jesus Christ that changes their lives forever. And that's really all that we are. So, you know, the program that we do have, and we do have things that we do, and this program is set up a certain way, but it is entirely the results don't come from the program. Those things are just tools that God has given us to use, and the results come from a real encounter experience with Jesus Christ that sets them free from drug addiction or alcoholism or any other sin stronghold in their life.
Okay. I understand when you're saying program. I get that. So we are on the same page with that. Let's talk about some of the requirements for being a resident there. You know, someone listening may have a family member, or maybe themselves.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. So there really isn't a strict list of requirements. Like, I don't say yes to anyone, and I don't say no to anyone. We truly believe and trust that God sends exactly who's supposed to be here when they're supposed to be here. And there's not certain things that disqualify you. And, you know, it's not something that you have to earn your way to get in here or prove that you're the certain type of person that we want. Now, we do screen our clients, because in the beginning, we have a commitment to the clients that we already have. They're our family already. And so, you know, if we determine that you're not ready and that you're going to be a bad seed, we may not take you, because we're protecting the other 30 clients that are already here. But it's basically, you know, as far as requirements, there is none other than, you know, it's in our name, Friends of Sinners. So mm-hmm. we're a friend of sinners, and that is across the board, drug addiction, alcoholism, any sin that you can think of. We want to be what Jesus was to sinners in the Bible, and you know, the prostitute, the drug addict, the homeless man. Like, there isn't you have to be, you know, addicted at this level, or you have to have criminal charges. Like, we have those type of clients, but there really is no requirements. The the requirements are that you fill out an application and you come in and do an interview with us, and that most of the time, instead of saying yes or no, we say, hey, like, we want you to start coming hang out with us for a few days from 8 to 4. Let's get to know each other. Let's make sure that we're a good fit for you and you're a good fit for us.
All right. I know, because locally where we're at right now in Kentucky, the people in our community, for the most part, have heard of Friends of Sinners. And I remember years ago when I started to become familiar with the women at Friends of Sinners, you know, I realized that it's in Scripture, Friends of Sinners. Jesus is called a friend to the tax collectors and the sinners. And because people at the time, they're like, why Friends of Sinners? Well, it's right there in Matthew 11, 19. And I love that you are based on the word, that you don't veer away from it, that you are a Christ-centered recovery program. You know, there's no certain denomination, and that's good. So everyone feels welcomed. So how long of a commitment is this when someone first starts? How long are they there?
We basically, they make a 12-month commitment to us, or a year-long commitment. In the beginning, like when Friends of Sinners was founded, a client would check in, we would say, if you give us 12 months of your life, I promise you that God will perform a miracle in your life. If you give us 12 months of your life and you don't leave and you don't get kicked out and that you don't use drugs or alcohol, I promise that your life will be completely different. And there's never been one time where someone has given us that 12 months of their lives fully and fully committed to God in that way where that hasn't happened.
Mm-hmm. So can you give us a glimpse into what goes on during the year, during their time there?
Yeah, so there's four phases. Phase one is their first 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks. During that time, their first 30 days, they're here. They're not allowed to work. They're here with us. They're going to Christian counseling and Christian therapy multiple times a week. They're going to 5 classes, Bible studies, church services a day. Basically, they go to 8 a.m. They go to morning meditation, 9:30. They go to Bible study, 12 o'clock. They go to Bible study, 2 o'clock. They go to Bible study. And then in the evenings, they go to Celebrate Recovery or church or R&R. And in between all those classes, in their first 30 days, they're doing counseling and therapy and getting any medical needs. They're going to see doctors, real doctors, to get any physical needs met that they may have, because the mental and the physical things that our clients sometimes come in with are part of the problem. You know, if a guy's in pain, you know, he may be addicted to pain pills because he's constantly in pain. If a guy has a mental illness, he may be self-medicating, and that's why he's addicted to drugs. So the very first thing our clients do is go to the doctor, and they get a full health screen, and we determine what is going on with them, with their health, and we address that. And second thing is the mental health, and then right after that, you know, we do all those things in-house. We have doctors that we work with that, you know, can send their medicine in and send it right to us. We can do it over the phone. We don't even have to go there. So that's the first phase of the program. Phase two, phase three, and phase four. Basically, as you go up, phase two, you get to go to work and work 8 to 4 and then go to classes at night. And then you just get extra privileges, phase three and four. And then in transitional, you get to move home, but you're still required to do certain things with us throughout the week for a certain amount of time before we let you go. But we're a 12-month program, but we make a lifelong commitment to our clients.
Absolutely. Okay, let's take a quick break here. We will be back with more Shaped by Faith. Everyone, stay tuned. Welcome back to Shaped by Faith. Joe Welsh is my guest. He is the executive director of Friends of Sinners. And Joe, you were just explaining what goes on in the life of the clients that attend Friends of Sinners, from their health to their mental to getting help with counseling and therapy, and then they eventually move on and they get a job. And so there's so much going on there. And I did want to ask you this, since you are a Christ-centered recovery program, do you have to be a Christian to be a client?
No. So the answer is no. You know, we accept anyone, but we're a voluntary program only. And so how that works is, anyone who comes to Friends of Sinners is volunteering to come to Friends of Sinners. We never go out and solicit for people to come here or to fill beds at Friends of Sinners. And how it works with the court system is, the judge would, if someone wants to come to Friends of Sinners and they're court ordered, the judge can't court order them here. So until they say, "Judge, I want to go to Friends of Sinners," and he'll say, "All right, you know that they're a Christ-centered program. You know they love Jesus. You know what they do." And the judge will say, the guy will say, "Yes, that's where I want to go." And the judge will say, "All right, I'm court ordering you to go to Friends of Sinners. And if Joe asks you to dance around in the street in a skirt and paint purple butterflies, then you better do it." So it's basically, it's one of those things that in our community, we have a lot of great services and treatment centers, but we are the only Christ-centered program. And we catch a lot of flack from different places, especially from grant organizations, because we're Christ-centered and they don't want to give their money to Christ-centered. And they always ask the same question that you just asked. Do you have to be a Christian to come here? And we say no. And they say, "Well, I just got this question a few days ago. If someone checked into your program, are they required to do the faith portions of your program?" And the answer is yes. Like, we only have one program. We have nothing else to offer anyone outside of Jesus. That's who we are and what we do. But I told them, it's never been a problem. I've been here for 9 years and I've never had one client say, "I can't do this because of Jesus." In fact, it's the opposite. Like, people are seeking us out because they've tried secular programs. They've tried other things. They've tried Alcoholics Anonymous. They want to try Jesus. They want to try a Christ-centered program. And because of our reputation, the community, and the success that we have, is because Jesus changes lives for real and forever. And people see that and have noticed that over the past 14 years. Well, how come Friends of Sinners clients are so different than other clients of other places? And the answer is Jesus. And that's what we do. So you don't have to be a Christian when you walk in the door. You don't have to be a certain denomination. You don't have to believe anything. But you do have to do our program. And we're not making that person do it. When they come in, they sign a piece of paper that says they're volunteering to do these things that our program consists of.
Okay, what's one of the biggest challenges that you face at Friends of Sinners?
It's just raising money. Because we're Christ-centered, we don't bill insurance. We don't get any federal or state money. We don't get any government money. We're disqualified from, 50% of the grants that are out there. It's a double-edged sword, because when I say it's the biggest challenge, it is a huge challenge for us, because we're Christ-centered and because of Jesus that we're excluded from a lot of things. But it's also, on the flip side of that, is that locally, our local churches and Christian community have supported us well over the years, throughout the years. And I would just encourage local churches and local Christians to continue to do that, because the only way we're able to do what we do is through them, through local churches, local Christian business owners, and local
local individuals who believe in our mission and what we do. Without them, we have no chance because we can't bill insurance. We can't get grant money from the state or the government, or any of those avenues are closed as soon as Jesus is brought into the picture. Mm. And if we could, as soon as we took that money, then we would be under that thumb and they would say, oh, you can't pray before meals anymore. You can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. And the founders of Friends of Sinners were very wise. And the very first bylaw that they put in for Friends of Sinners said we will never take $1 of federal or state money. And mm-hmm. that's, in my career, I've looked into insurance money, trying to find ways that we can do certain things. And because other places and other communities are doing it and they're talking about Jesus and their faith-based programs. And I was very interested in it, but the people before me were very wise, and I soon realized that they were right all along. And I saw these other places that were doing it. I saw how the government came in and made them change what they were doing and sometimes shut them down completely because they started taking that money. And then when they did that, they lost all of their fundraising and their donors because they didn't need them anymore. And it was hard to get them back, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just, that's our biggest challenge is raising money. It's a full-time job just to raise money and fundraise and find grants and organizations that will support us because we are Christ-centered. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we have a wonderful, wonderful Christian community that we live in that supports us and backs us 100%. And that's how we are able to stay open.
Mm-hmm. The good news is God fulfills all your needs. He always will. And he uses people to do that. I mean, it blesses people to be able to help out as well. And so shout out, everyone, Friends of Sinners, contact Joe Welsh and let's donate. Let's help him out. Now, you recently held an open house for the community in July, and you announced the Capital Campaign kickoff and tour of the new facility. I was there, and you spoke about it, and you spoke about the vision that God gave you for this campaign. So why don't you share that with us?
Yeah. So about 5 years ago, God just led me to the story of Moses and the 70 elders. And as I read it, it's Numbers 11, chapter 11, verses 16 and 17. It says, the Lord says to Moses, bring me 70 men, elders, leaders to the tent meeting and have them come there with you. And I will speak to them through you. And I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them, and they will help carry the burden of the people with you so that you don't have to carry it alone. And as I read that, it was just something that I thought in my head. It's such a cool story of how God supported Moses in his time of need and when he was struggling and when he was like, God, how am I going to provide the food for the Israelites that I just rescued from slavery, and how am I going to provide? And so I really identified with it. And so it was 5 years ago, and I just kind of stuck that in my head, and God told me to save that because I was going to need it at some point. And as we got closer to our capital campaign, I just kept coming back to that. And God told me, you know, I want you to find 70 people, 70 elders, leaders, businesses, churches that will commit a one-time donation of $10,000 or more, maybe less, maybe more, because I believe that whatever the 70 people that commit to doing this, I believe it's going to be exactly what we need, because I have people that may give me $100,000 and I have people that may give me $1,000. But I think if I have those 10,000 numbers in between, and some larger and some smaller, that it's all going to end up being the same amount anyways.
Absolutely. Okay, let's take another quick break. We'll be right back with Shaped by Faith. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Shaped by Faith. So, Joe, I love the vision God gave you for this campaign. Moses and the 70 elders, how cool is that? And you know that you know when God gives you something, he will fulfill his promise. So, you know, you were talking about your expectations, but let's say someone's listening, Joe, and they have like $50 or $100 to give. Would you still accept that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We accept any monetary amount of donations. You know, we have two separate things. We have our normal budgeting fund that we have to have every year to keep the doors open at Friends of Sinners. And so this capital campaign is something that I'm trying to do separately so that I don't steal from our normal budget, right? So it's something that if someone wants to give specifically to our capital campaign, that, you know, that they would tell me that or list that item on a check or on our website that they want this money to go towards our capital campaign.
Okay. And so can you give us a website and how they can contact you?
Yep. They can contact me directly. My phone number is 270-302-1161. And my email address is joewelsh00@yahoo.com. Our website for Friends of Sinners is www.friendofcenter.org. So it's, you know, we're called Friends of Sinners, but our website is www.friendofcenter.org. No S's at the end of friend or sinners. And our address is 320 Clay Street, Owensboro, Kentucky, 42303. And that, our, you know, check or what you can get directly on our website. You can mail a check. Those are the ways that, you know, most of the time that we get our donations are through checks or our website. But there are options on our website to become monthly donors or to make commitments over quarterly. There's different ways on our website that you can give. And on our website, it gives you an option to choose or write what you want the money to go towards also.
Okay. Joe, how have you seen God transform individuals at Friends of Sinners? And if you want to share some stories, that would be great.
Yeah. So I'll just share my favorite. In 2011, I became the director of St. Benedict's Homeless Shelter, and I had my dream job. And my father was in prison at this time. And in 2012, my father got sent to Davis County Detention Center to finish his time there. And I got to go, I was signed up to go in and do a REC retreat, which is a residence encounter Christ retreat at the Davis County Detention Center. And I found out that my dad was going to be there. It's a long story that I know we don't have time for, but maybe another day. But anyways, through that retreat, I was able to get my father into Friends of Sinners in 2012. And from that, I fell in love with the ministry of Friends of Sinners. And I watched my dad go from, he was 50 years old, and he had been a drug addict and alcoholic his entire life. He had been in and out of jail and prison. I visited him in prison. I was his best man in prison when I was a kid. Like, just, that was my childhood with my father. And so from the age of 55 until 55, until my dad passed away, I got to witness my dad be a father to my sisters and a grandfather to his grandchildren and a son to his mom and a brother to his brother, something that he had never done his whole life. And so what I recognized was that the impact that Friends of Sinners has on individuals is so much greater than just the men or the women that we touch. It impacts the entire family. And we are really big on family, and we want the entire family to be a part of the recovery process. So We have lots of policies, but I'm really big, you know, nothing is black and white. I'm really big on people over policies. So if we don't have policies, there's chaos. So we have to have them. But I'm never going to put a policy over a person or their family. And what I mean is, you know, is if I'm in a treatment center, the treatment center I went to, if it was my daughter's birthday, they would say, oh, well, you can leave and never come back, or you can miss your daughter's birthday party. What are you going to do? Well, that's just not who we are and how we work. We want to put the people first. And I want my father to be at his daughter's birthday party. And I want the family to be at church with him. And I want them to be at CR with him. And so in the evenings, when we go to these different places, we not only allow it, but we encourage the family to be there with them, because we also know that sometimes a husband may be here getting treatment and his wife is at home and still struggling with addiction or lots of other things. And so we don't want to invest 12 months into the husband and not anything into the wife. So it's really, even though we have a men's and women's program, it's really focused on the family as a whole. Like, we want the entire family to get well, get better, because that's what the experience that I had in my own personal life that changed my life forever is that I had a father for the first time the last 5 years of his life who loved me and shared Jesus with me, who got to baptize me, who I got to see do all these things and make all these amends and make everything right before he died. And my sisters had a different perspective. When he died, they said, why would God give our father back to us and then take him 5 years later? And I had a different perspective. My perspective was, thank you so much, Lord, that you gave me my father for the last 5 years. That God's grace in our lives was that his timing was perfect, that he knew my father was going to be gone in 5 years, and that he got him to Friends of Sinners at the perfect time to give us him for the next 5 years, and so that he could make all those things right and be a father and a grandfather. And it's just the amazing miracle grace that Jesus gives us. And like, that's what happens.
Wow, Joe, that is a powerful transformational story. I wish we had more time. We need to have more time, but we have to go. But thank you so much. Ma'am. Yeah, thanks, Joe. Everyone give to Friends of Sinners. Also pray for them, and to God be the glory. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Shaped by Faith with Teresa Rowe. Remember to visit shapedbyfaith.com to find out more about workouts, the TV show, podcasts, blogs, Shaped by Faith products, and much more.